He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Right after Thanksgiving, we were talking with Dr. Brown about the uptick in COVID cases, RSV, the flu, and we understand why. People are getting together, they're indoors, they might be spreading things a lot quicker. But I'm noticing personally, Dr. Brown, that the flu is brutal this year. It's awful. And I'd love to know what you're seeing from, you know, a medical perspective. But we just had, or we're still currently dealing with, the flu ripping through the Sheck family. So five of our members are dealing with the flu right now. But it's not the kind of flu that I'm used to, you know, the throwing up, essentially. That's not what's happening. It's like your body is completely shut down. It's destroyed. I mean, that. So I don't know if you could talk to the type of flu we're seeing right now. But Absolutely. Obviously, we know it's aggressive. But the five cases that I've at least seen in my family right now, it's all like where they can't even get out of bed. Like their body physically just is totally in pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, we are seeing a bad flu season. We haven't, and it sounds, I know it's kind of sounds a little bit, but we do have, this is a bad, we haven't really had a bad flu season in a while. I mean, really, we haven't had a bad flu. We kind of forgot what a bad flu season was even before COVID, because we really haven't had, this is sort of our first bad flu season. And, you know, the flu mutates and changes every year. We know that. We know that's why we have to get a vaccine every year to make sure that we have at least some coverage for it. So the symptoms, you know, just like we saw with COVID, and I think you and I had lots of discussions about that, it changes on what it presents as. And every year it has different features, but essentially still has sort of the basic ones. The one that we're seeing predominantly on this strain is this body aches. And that's the body's response to this virus that's circulating throughout our bodies. And it's not only the virus itself, but it's also how we respond to it and how our immune system is responding to it and how we release all these sort of special chemicals in our body to try to fight it off. And one of the ways that we're trying to fight it off and the way that this one's activating it is this sort of body aches and chills and just this feeling of just misery.
Yeah, it's not good. I feel horrible. I mean, first of all, I can't believe, knock on wood, that I haven't gotten it because my husband's one of the victims. But especially my sister and her husband, I mean, they've been bedridden, and they're some of the youngest members of our families. They're in their mid-20s. But they literally feel like they've been hit by a bus and then ran over a couple more times, honestly, because they're just laying there anyways. Way she describes it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't even know. I wouldn't have even recognized that as the flu, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we've definitely seen that before. And I've seen this sort of throughout my career, the full on body aches, you know, fevers, nausea, cough. You know, some years we see it as a predominant cough, you know, this severe upper respiratory tract infection. And every year it does have some association with body aches and chills. This year just happens to be more focused on, you know, it just seems to be more pronounced.
Yeah. But it also, I'm telling, and maybe, like you said, Dr. Brown, and I have no issue admitting that maybe I'm just out of touch, but the body aches, I mean, I know that comes, usually the body aches come because you are trying to fight off other stuff. So you've got horrible headaches, or you've got, you know, head colds, or like I said, you're vomiting, you know, like, so your body ends up hurting because it is working so hard with all these other symptoms. But to just have the severe body aches to the point that you, like, I mean, we're sitting there having dinner last night, right? Mm-hmm. And my husband just immediately in the middle of the dinner is like, I gotta lay down. My body is killing me. But he's not nauseous. He doesn't have a headache. He just, his body literally felt like it was in extreme pain. And I'm hearing the same thing, like I said, from my sister and my brother-in-law, who have been on bed rest, honestly, for the last, like, 3 days. And I've not heard of the flu being like that, though. That sounds like a different type of flu, but is that not the case?
No, that's not the case.
It's still
a typical variant of it. So, and I think the best way to describe it is every year, every variation of the flu that we end up having, it activates a different area sort of within our body for its response. And I think what's happening with this one is it's activating certain types of cytokines. Once those cytokines, and that's sort of inflammatory chemicals that are released during a viral infection, what happens is that this one just happens to be one that becomes disseminated throughout the body. It really is almost like it's almost like the body's fighting it. So you can imagine that, you know, even though they're having pain sort of everywhere, but that's all the battlegrounds that your body's fighting off this virus.
Wow. Another thing, because this just popped up literally as we're doing this segment, my mom actually just texted me because, of course, she's listening. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
She said, Dad and I were pretty sick last night, but we feel better today. So what I think is interesting about this, so add two more to the list. What I think is interesting, though, is so this all started, we were all together as a family on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of sporadic how people have been getting sick. So immediately my sister was sick. And my nephew, they were both sick on Sunday. So who knows? I don't know. Like after we had all gotten together, they got sick pretty quickly. But from there, it's been kind of progressive where, you know, more and more people have gotten sick. And what I'm wondering is how does that happen, Dr. Brown? Like, is the flu something where even if you were exposed, like, so for example, my husband has not seen my sister, my nephew, or my brother-in-law since Sunday, but he started showing symptoms on Monday afternoon. My parents are showing symptoms on Wednesday evening. I mean, is that weird? Does it kind of hit people differently? Could they be seeing symptoms days even after they're exposed?
So all of these are great questions. So this has always been my concern. I mean, we kind of, as I said, through the COVID years, we spoke a lot about COVID. It became very clear sort of there was we knew that there was a direct person-to-person contact. You'd come across a person who had it, and then you would end up getting it. It's, you know, highly infectious. But it was really focused on sort of that close contact. To be honest, I think the flu is a little bit more concerning to me because the flu is a little bit different in how it transmits. There's two major focuses with the flu. One is the person-to-person, so that close contact, so that what we call droplet contact. The other is actually surfaces. So if something is contaminated, then you can actually potentially get the flu from there. So you touch a surface, and then you touch your mouth or nose, you can actually transmit it that way. So the answer is that by these different mechanisms of action, you know, if it was a direct one, it may be sooner. If it was indirect, you know, touch the hands, and now it's got to the face, that might be different also. We also know that with the flu, the first day before you have any symptoms, you're infectious. Which makes it particularly concerning because if you don't have any symptoms, how do you know?
You're still interacting with people and you don't know, right.
And then the next day they're sick. And then all of a sudden, you know, a day after you started spreading to everyone, you know, the day after, a couple of days after, now you're getting it. Now, again, there is an incubation period, and that incubation period is different for different people. You know, roughly around 5 to 7 days is sort of a rough number. So once you have an exposure, then around a 5 to 7 day exposure period is when you can actually get anything. And that's really how, you know, the amount of virons that you've actually had exposure to, where, you know, which way, you know, how your body responded to it. If it was small enough, you may have just fought it off and not got anything. If it was a lot of virus that you had, then it may actually be a little bit faster. Sometimes you just don't know.
If you feel like this flu season is more aggressive than usual, you're not wrong. Dr. Fred Brown telling us that we haven't really seen a flu season like this in quite some time. And so it certainly comes as a bit of a shock for a lot of us, including myself. I just shared with all of you that we have the flu currently kind of ripping through my family after we all got together on Sunday. And, you know, you said something really interesting there before, Dr. Brown, which I think is important for anybody. So the incubation period, correct me if I'm wrong, you just said the incubation period that you could be carrying, you know, the flu virus is 5 to 7 days. So
correct.
Does that mean with if you clear, so let's say I get to the 5 to 7 day mark, I get to the weekend and I have no flu symptoms, which so far so good. I'm knocking on wood. Say I get to the 5 to 7
I see where you're going here, Melissa. When am I out of the window?
When am I clear to actually sleep in the same room as my husband? Or when am I clear to actually be around my family again? I'm so serious because I feel okay. I do. I have, you know, like a little bit of congestion here, or like, I don't know if I have a tickle in my throat there, but I also know I'm neurotic, right? So like, I know.
I was going to say, you're good. You're good like that. Every time we talk about it, you make sure that you have a distance.
I do.
You're not overly hugging people. You wear masks when they're appropriate.
Right.
You're a model prevention of the spread of infectious diseases.
Sure. But listen, even Mary Poppins is only practically perfect in every way. And so, to me, I'm wondering, especially because I we're coming up on Christmas next week. You've got New Year's the week after.
Sure.
I mean, we're going back into... And even if it's not our own family, like, let's generalize it, right? So, I mean, I think it is a moral responsibility that if you are feeling any symptoms, especially if you haven't tested for the flu yet, I mean, I want people to understand that it's just, to me, I don't know what the risk is there. I mean, that's where you kind of come into play.
Right?
I mean, a 5 to 7 incubator time, that's a week.
Yeah. So the tricky part is obviously the day before, because nobody knows.
Right.
You don't know if you're going to have the flu tomorrow. So that's always the tricky part. The best ways to prevent the flu, and this continues to be the case, the best way is that good hand hygiene. So frequent washing your hands is probably the most important thing. With the flu, it's also wash your hands often. Making sure you're, 20 seconds or an alcohol-based hand rub needs to be at least 60% alcohol, and then avoid touching your face. I would make a conscious effort to try to avoid touching your face. That means you're gonna be able to do that. Now, I actually had my colleagues in the past, and I had a mentor, and she said she didn't get a respiratory infection for years because she was always careful about being an arm's length away from people. Now again, it's not the most social thing, but at least that's the sort of things that if you understand how this can be transmitted, if you're careful, then you can prevent getting it.
But I also feel like, Dr. Brown, this is a very important, just in general, past the holidays, I think going into the winter season, how important it also is to maybe start coming up with those plans with your place of work. I don't know what you sort of recommend if you feel like people should, have some kind of understanding of, look, if I feel symptoms, maybe I shouldn't come into work, or maybe we need to have those protocols in place. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of like how we were in COVID. I certainly don't want it to be like that. But to me, when you look at how infectious and how quickly this is really, I think, spreading, it feels like exposure. You don't have to be hugging and kissing people. I feel like you're getting it, just within being, like you said, touching surfaces within the vicinity.
Exactly. And I guess the most important question that I didn't answer for you is, when can you see your husband again?
Oh, yeah. When can I talk to him again? Because right now we're through windows discussing or text messaging. I'm not talking to that guy right now. No.
You're most infectious within 3 days. Once a person is no longer febrile and feeling improvement, it's 24 hours after that the infection has gone there. We use the 5 to 7 days as sort of a rule of thumb, as we call a case definition. So it's no longer febrile 24 hours, or symptoms are improving within 24 hours. That's when it goes away, within that 3 day period of time.
Nope. I'm not good at math. So you got to explain that again.
So
within 24 hours of what? So 3 days.
So 24 hours. So his fevers are gone. And 24 is after the fevers, then he's no longer infectious.
Okay. What if he never had a fever though? He's never had one.
Yeah. So symptoms improving. As the symptoms, if the symptoms start to improve, it's
24 hours
after symptoms
improve. But I'm not going to catch whatever he's got going on.
I can never guarantee that. But
I'm
again,
not going
he's
near
most,
him. You know
most
what?
Most infectious for 3 days. You can be the most cautious for 5 to 7. He's like,
okay. You know what? I love you, Derek, but I'll talk to you next week. That's just the way it's going to be. That's what I've decided to do.
Because
we just,
enough.
I can't listen. I've run out of sick days at work. I can't have this. We've got a 7-year-old. I can't have him bringing it to school. We've already got that risk. Forget that. The kid's just going to school aimlessly. Like, oh, let's hope they don't get flu. I mean,
Oof, and Melissa, I think the big thing is that I don't want people to forget. This is not a treatment failure of the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine is still really important to get, especially if you're at higher risk. So that's important, and that makes it a virus that's going to knock you out for a week to a virus that can put you in the hospital.
And so, not too late to get the flu vaccine at this point.
It's not too late.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right. Dr. Brown, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and I hope the flu doesn't come anywhere near you because we need you too much.
Absolutely.
Okay, well,
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas. We are off next week for
we
Christmas.
Are.
Yeah. So, oh my God, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We don't have Dr. Brown for 2 weeks? Oh no. That's sad. Oh, that's really sad. Okay, I'm going to have to process that. Dr. Brown, I'll talk to you in the new year.
Absolutely.
Oh. All right. Hopefully,
Absolutely.
Nothing bad happens before then. Jeez,
not, we'll have to have an urgent call in, but
right.
Otherwise, I think we'll survive.
Okay, cool. Well, Dr. Brown, we so appreciate you. Thank you so much.